the first lesson of this series that I'm going to do, hopefully. I'll be here July and August, so we should be able to finish some of it. And then I'll be gone October, September, October, and first part of November. I won't be around. So just bear with me this July and August. And then you can have 2.5 months of freedom again. All right, let's go ahead and pray. And the first part I'm just going to cover because I already went over them. You can just fill out the blanks there, and then I'll go on to the new subject, and we'll be done with this lesson today. Let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the time that you provided for us again. Thank you for the breath of life that we can be living again today. Lord, you gave us another day to live. And Lord, there's a purpose for us today, and Lord, may we find that. Lord, in your word, as we read it personally ourselves, or Lord, as we hear your preaching today, help us, Lord, to find the purpose that you have for us today. Lord, we thank you that our Christian life can be lived day by day, and we don't have to necessarily worry about tomorrow or the past. We can live it now, that you are forever I am, and that you are not I was, or you're not I will be, but you are I am. And Lord, it's an everlasting presence. And help us, Lord, to enjoy your presence today. Now, Lord, as we study your word, as we look at your name, Elohim, as we, Lord, pay attention to that name and the attribute that it describes for us, I pray that we would get a better idea of who you are. And Lord, help us to be as Paul said, that he may know you. And Lord, help us to be, that our goal as Christians, that we'll never get to the point in our life that we'll know everything and that we can never learn. But Lord, help us, Lord, to always be learning and always knowing you. Help us to develop a relationship today with you. Help it to be enriched. Help it to grow. Help it to be not just a Sunday morning activity or a hobby that we do, as if we were golfing or fishing. But help us, Lord, to make it as if we were our daily-to-day life. We can't survive without you. And Lord, we ask that in your precious name, Jesus. Amen and amen. Elohim. I already discussed this last month. If you're brand new, I'm sorry I won't be able to discuss it so much in detail. You just go ahead and fill it out. The first name, I'll read it very, very quickly. The first name used to define, describe, and reveal to God, to creation as Elohim, in the beginning God. This is an emphatic statement without controversy. Before there was anything else, there was God. We know that. The author of creation places a divine signature upon a manuscript that will evidence all that he will do through his creation. I'm sorry if I'm reading it really fast, but I really want to finish the lessons today, so I'm going through the first part of it very quickly. The Hebrew word is Elohim. It is found 3,000 times, and over 2,300 times, this make reference to them, the term applied to God. The English word God in the King James Version refers to Elohim, which is the creator. In the first two chapters of Genesis, Elohim occurs 35 times in connection with God's creative power. Elohim is a plural noun which begins to reveal to us in the first verse of the Bible that God is a Trinity. We talk about that in the beginning, God, not only talking about one particular person, it was talking about God in plurality. God is a Trinity, three in one. And he said, let us make man in our image. It's talking about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. The root of Elohim is El, which means mighty. The funny thing about it in the Spanish language, El means is the pronoun they use for masculinity. Man, I can't pronounce any of my words today. My Tagalog is a little bit strong. Sorry about that. Elohim, El, is in the Spanish language, again, refers to the pronoun for man, he. Strength or strong one, we see then that God, Elohim, is mighty in creation and before creation. Elohim is mighty. The plural noun indicates a triumph, source of power. We already talked about that. In Genesis 1:26, God plural said, let us make man in our image. And man was created as a concert. Okay, you read it. Act of the three members of the Godhead, the Father, Exodus 20:11. Okay? That was what we covered last time I teach, that one page, so I have to hurry up. So I'm going to try to cover this. I think I finished a half a page of this. Talks about the Son, Colossians 1:16, and the Holy Spirit. Elohim is a plurality in unity, or just a community in the Trinity. Elohim speaks of the function of deity in creation, judgment, deliverance, and punishment. Elohim implies fullness of might. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved means deliverance. Deliverance from what? Sin and death. And God was our deliverer. He was our redeemer. He was our savior. Contained in the root word Elohim is the meaning to swear, not curse, to swear or to keep the covenant, the promise keeper. The reason Elohim, God, can keep covenants and claim promises is because Elohim is mighty, Hebrews 6:13. And I think that's where I ended off, right? All right, that's what I thought. Thank you for those that kept their notes. And we'll finish it today. You know, some people promise things, and man, I am guilty of this. Especially with all the things now that's going on. You have to call preachers and da-da-da-da-da. And one preacher will say, well, can you make lumpia? I don't know how that got around that I know how to make lumpia. So when I was in the church up there what's the name of the place? In Adirondacks, Linwood Baptist Church, the preacher liked Filipinos. I think he liked the food rather than the Filipinos. And so I had to make lumpia. It was very good. I enjoyed it. So I get to make those once in a while. Sometimes you forget here and there. But sometimes I promise things like, I'll be here, I'll help you, or then I don't show up. It's just, I'm not as faithful as God is. And God is faithful. He'll never forget anything. He promised you something, he'll do it for you. And it's an awesome thing that God is that way. He's faithful. He's always there, available for us. And he's all that you need. He's always there when you need him. At the time that you need him, he's there. You never have to worry about him missing. Sometimes he'll hide himself. I talked about that earlier. But he hides himself for the reason of seeing if you really love him and if you really miss him. It's just him trying to find out your motive of your heart, if you really like, if you really love him. And so he hides himself. But normally he's there when you need him. He never slacks concerning his promises. He always provides. When he says something, he'll do it. And you can count on him. And that's our God, Elohim. He's almighty. He can do that. There's nothing that he can't do. There's nothing that he can be limited. He's the only one that can limit himself. You know, the question people say, if God is so strong, can he make a stone big enough that he can't pick up? Well, first of all, I told you before that he's the only one that limits himself. So he can't. He won't do that. Why? Because it's stupid. Why would he do that? And so, Elohim promises, and we can count on his promises. We can stand on his promises because they're all true. There's not a word of God in the prophecies of him coming as a baby, as a child, as a savior that has not been fulfilled in this very book. And we can be assured that all the prophecies that tell us of his second coming and the kingdom to come that he's going to make, we can be assured that those things are true because the Bible is the truth and it's pure. And it's inspired, and it's tried, and it's gone through the test of time, and it still proves to be true. And you know what? Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. It's an everlasting covenant. And when God makes a covenant, he can make covenants because he's Elohim. I told you before the covenant he made with Abraham. And I think we're going to go through that just a little bit, so I don't want to get ahead of myself. But contained in the name Elohim is a Semitic name, I don't know how you pronounce that. Allah, what? Allah. Yeah, there you go. That's where the Muslim got their. I never put that together. That's where the Muslim got it. I was trying to figure out how to pronounce that name, but that's what it is. Allah, which is the noun for the name and the verb for the attribute or action of the promise keeper, or the ability to swear by. El identifies Jehovah's ability to perform. Allah describes the need to do so. Thus, in Allah, we find God who can create and God who can keep creation by a covenant. A covenant is different than a contract. A contract agreement is in paper. A covenant is more so than that. It was in the Old Testament, the way they made covenant, where they had to go through blood. Blood was required in a covenant agreement. And marriage, by the way, is a covenant. It wasn't a contract. So don't tell the states, well, I'm not going to talk about it. All right. And they show you the covenant that he had with Abraham, how that the covenant was made, that you would bring a sacrifice, one part of the covenant, one side and the other side. They will make, they'll kill the animal, and they will walk through it with the blood. And that was a covenant agreement that they had. God is the mighty one of creation. He can maintain that creation because God can swear by no greater. And remember that. That's why the Bible tells us he's not a debtor. God is not a debtor to nobody. He doesn't owe anybody anything. He doesn't owe you a thing. He doesn't owe you good health. He doesn't owe you a good job. He doesn't owe you a happy marriage. He doesn't owe you nothing. I hope you understand that about our Lord. He doesn't have to come and pamper you. That's not God's job. If anything, we come to him and adore him and worship him and we prostrate ourselves and give him the glory due unto his name. But he doesn't owe you good looks, ladies. He doesn't owe you money, fellas. He doesn't owe no man anything. He is not a debtor. God is not a debtor to no man. And you have to understand that about our Lord. He doesn't swear to nobody else. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. Everybody will bow down sometime and will confess who he truly is. And nobody else is going to be greater than our God. Hebrews 6:13. God's covenant in creation, by his nature, requires that God, Elohim, maintains creation, including restoring it, should man fall. Thus, God's covenant will be maintained no matter the cost, even Calvary. You know that God's name was at stake when you sinned. You see, we forget this idea that God loved us when he created us. He desired to be with man. The reason we were made, so that we can be with him. He wanted to be with us. It's not that he was bored. I already specified that a million times. He wasn't he was bored. He was all sufficient. There was a community in the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Ghost had a good time without us. They didn't need us around. But I think in personal opinion, I think God made man so that he can share that good time he has. And by the way, it's a good time. If you get into God in his love, and you draw nigh to him, and he draw nigh to you, it's a wonderful relationship that cannot be matched, you cannot even imagine it. That's why the Bible describes the things that is a result of it. Peace that's unspeakable, joy that's full of glory. Because it's just that. You can't describe it. There is no way you can describe it. I mean, you can relate to it. God has created our society that we have relationship with one another. We have a father, we have a son, we have a mother and a daughter, we have a husband and wife, we have parents and children, we have friends. And gives us a little tidbit of what we can have with God. And God likens himself to all of those. He's a mother to us. Just like a hen would gather his chicks, her chicks, his chicks, it's a messed up hen, and that's doing it, would gather her hen and protect her. God is the same way to us. Dwell in the shadow of his wings. God likens himself as a mother. He likens himself as a father in the word of God, more so than anything. He's referred to as he, him, the Lord, our father. He's likened to us a friend. Friend is the Lord Jesus. Take it closer than a brother. He's likened to us a brother. We're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We can say, Abba, Father. We can say daddy to God because of what Jesus has done. And the relationship that Jesus has with God, we can have. So he can be a brother to us. And other things, he could be the employee-employer relationship. He is our ultimate, if not to be sacrilegious, our boss. We are the servant, he's the master. It's a relationship of teacher and student. He's the teacher, we're the student. And so even a little bit of tidbit that God gives to us, we can understand. But that relationship, my friends, you have to develop yourself. No preacher can develop a relationship that you and God can have. You have to do that yourself. You have to come to the point in your life that you want God so bad that you're going to read His Word, that you're going to pray, and you're going to do it because you want to, and you want to do it so that you can get something out of it. Not so that you can say, I did it. Not so you can check the checkbox and say, I checked my Bible reading today. You have to have your heart in it. God, in all that He did, in all that He does, and all that He's willing to do for you, it always put His heart in it. God has never given us a second best. Never one time that God has given us a second best. He always gives us the very best He has. And it's only reasonable for us, if we want that relationship with Him, to give Him our very best. And He loved that. He loved your effort. He loves that you're trying. It's not that you're going to be perfect. That's why He comes along with His grace. You know, sometimes when you're walking around and you have a little baby and they get heavy, man, they get heavy. And you know, and you maybe as a father, you're walking around carrying your baby, and man, your arm gets heavy walking a long way. And then once in a while, you have to let them go and say, can you walk? And then they'll walk a little bit. And then sometimes you have to pick them up. Sometimes they can't climb a ravine. You have to pick them up, put them on your shoulder, and take them up. And that's the way the Lord has with our life. Life is a precarious venture. It gets crazy. It gets hectic. There's places that we can't personally climb ourselves. There's not a path that we can actually go ourselves. We don't know the way. But He'll come and pick us up. As an illustration, you know, the Bible talks about that you can put your right hand in God's right hand. You know, if that was illustrated today, brother, can you come up here for a second? Oh, this is going to be good. Well, I don't have time. I'm only got on my second page. All right. Okay, we're going to walk together. But yeah, I'm going to come down. And you're going to hold my right hand. I'm going to hold your head. We're going to walk together. Is that pretty awkward, isn't it? That's going to be awkward a little bit. There's no little kid here. Can you give me a piggyback ride?
Yes.
All right, here we go. Give me a piggyback ride. Ready? Are you got good back? Okay. Oh, this is so good. Now you have to hold my right hand. This is uncomfortable. Normally you need a little kid to do this, but normally they're on the shoulder. See, that's how God does it. I can hold his right hand and I'll be comfortable, although I'm not comfortable. Can you bring it back, please? Ah. And that's how God does it sometimes. Normal illustration, I should have had a little, oh, there's Mr. David, I could have used him. You put him up in your shoulder. His legs would be dangling here, but you can hold his right hand. And you can walk. And God does that with us. When things gets rough, when things are hard. You know the story of the footprint in the sand? Somebody asked why there's only one? Because at that time, God's carrying you. And so, that's what it is. God can do that because He's Elohim. He's God Almighty. And He can do it. And He's got the strength to do so. Let me go ahead and read here. The Arabic term for God, Allah, is represented by the word Eli, translated 250 times, describing God's strength. It was Eli that brought Israel up out of Egypt. Numbers 23:22, Moses said in Deuteronomy 10:17, Jehovah, your Elohim, is God of gods, the Lord of lords, the God, or Eli, who is great, mighty, and dreadful. El is used in connection with the great and mighty promises that God gave to Abraham and Jacob. And that was the promise. Genesis 17:1, 35 Elohim, that was the covenant that God made with Abraham. All right, El is the mighty God. Isaiah 9:6-7. Remember? He's the wonderful, the counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father. The government shall be upon his shoulder. That was Isaiah 9:6. And he's the mighty God. The first time El is used in Scripture, it is in connection with Melchizedek, who is described as priest of the Most High. Genesis 14:18. That was the priest that Abraham went to offer his tithes. And by the way, I said this before in the tabernacle, that the tithe preceded the law. People always say, well, in the New Testament doesn't talk about any tithes. in a sense. It doesn't tell that you should give tithes. But we have to understand, and they always say it was in the law, in the Old Testament. Yes, it was in the law in the Old Testament. But you have to remember that before the law was even written down, the Levitical law, all of those, Abraham gave a tithe to a priest called Melchizedek. Tithe was practiced with people having a heart for God, knowing who God was. He was Elohim. He was the one that was nobody else greater than he was. And because he's great, we give tithes. And we give offerings because he's great. And so that's what it was. Elohim, Melchizedek, tithe preceded the law. And so today we tithe because, obviously, the Bible talks about tithing. And another thing is the principle. The principle of it is God is greater than us. So we bring offerings. He deserves every penny you give him. He'll use it for his glory. He'll never take you and cheat you. In fact, if he don't, he gives you more. He blesses you for being faithful in tithe and offering. So we can be assured that he will not take it and use it for the wrong. Melchizedek, if you want to turn your Bibles to Hebrews 7, the Bible refers to Melchizedek in the New Testament. Hebrews chapter number 7 and verse number 1. If you find it, I'll go ahead and start reading. In verse number 7, chapter 7 and verse number 1. It says, "For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abided a priest continually." Now, it's just my personal opinion. I believe that Melchizedek was the Lord himself, the Lord Jesus, before he came on earth. But that's my opinion. You can take it or leave it. You have to study it for yourself. And if our pastor doesn't believe that, then you have to listen to what our pastor believes. But priests continually. Abraham gave a tithe to Melchizedek. Because God's great. We owe him everything. And if you understand that concept, you won't have a hard time giving him a tenth part of your income. You won't have a hard time giving offering. If you really get the concept that you owe God for everything, the clothes that you wear, the happiness that you have, your family, the health that you possess, the cars you drive, the ability to work, if you get that concept in your mind, you won't have a hard time giving to our Lord. And he deserves all of it. In Psalms 21:1, the Calvary Psalm, Christ cries out to Eli, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Eloi, Mark 15:34, Christ literally called out, my strength, El, the strength one, the strong one. That's what the word El, the strong one, it signifies God, the strong one. And God was saying, why hast thou forsaken me? Man, I think for the first time, the Lord God had to turn his back on his own dear son. Imagine how long they had together, and they always lived in harmony. The Trinity always had harmony. There was no sin presence. And they lived in harmony, knowing, and by the way, the Trinity has authority, has roles. The Father being the first, the head, and then the Son, and then the Holy Ghost. But they lived in harmony. They submitted to each other. And they knew each other very well. And they're one. And we can understand that. Someday in heaven, the Lord willing, we'll know what that all means. And that'll be a wonderful time. That'll be a wonderful time. But the first time, God the Father had to forsake his Son. And I couldn't imagine how the Lord felt. But that would have been probably hard. But the one that he loved, the one that was always there, the strength, his hope, says, I have to turn my back on you. But the Lord did that, you know why? For us, sacrifice. Sacrifice. That's the idea of a sacrifice. You give something up that is valuable to you, something that's dear. You know how many times the Lord prayed? He didn't have a problem praying. You know why? Because he loved God. He missed him. He was always with him in heaven all the time. God limited himself and became a man. And so becoming a man, he had to come to God the way that we can come to God. And the only way we can come to God is we could pray. So God was a long-distance relationship with the one he loved, his Father. And he had a long, long time of that. And then all of a sudden, God says, I have nothing to do with you. And God did that for us, a sacrifice. You know, in order to get a blessing, in order to see things happen in life, whether it be in your ministry or whatever it may be, it will take sacrifice. It will take some effort on your part. And you can't fly in the ministry and expect everything to be so fine and good if you don't sacrifice. It could be simple. It could be very simple. It could be your family time, that you want to have time with your family. But sometimes the presses and the stress, or not the stress, but the requirements of being in the ministry will have to take you away from those that you love to spend time with. It could be just simple like that. But sacrifices, if you sacrifice for the Lord, I tell you, He blesses the sacrifice. He blesses that. He blesses it, and He blesses it. And so I ask you, it's hard. It's hard to make a sacrifice for God. It's not easy to sacrifice in any shape, form, or fashion. But if you do, God will bless you. I just tell you that. God will bless you. Because when you sacrifice, it reminds Him of what He did on the cross. El, compound proper names. Israel, Bethel. Elohilai Israel, meaning house of Israel, Elijah, etc. Literally, El is our strength. So God Elohim, the Creator, is the Almighty God. Almighty, all-powerful. Anything that you think of that is not possible in your strength, it's possible with God. And so we can understand that in this word Elohim. He's God. The creator power that He had, the creating ability. Brother Bill was talking about that yesterday, Brother Nolder. And that was God, the Creator. He created all the things into existence. And not only did He create it, but He keeps them with the word of His power. Everything consists because God keeps it moving. So you don't have to worry about global warming if it's going to be perchance destroy the world, because God keeps the world. And we don't have to worry about it. We're not in this worry or afraid, because God is in control. As to His duration, He is an eternal God. Genesis 21:33. He's never going to have a beginning of days. He'll not have an end of days. He'll be forever God. And so we can trust in that. He's always going to be there. He's always going to be there. As to His power, He's the Almighty God. Genesis 17:1. He's the all-powerful God. Almighty God. As to His exclusiveness, He is a jealous God. Exodus 20:3-5. He is a jealous God. He likes your adoration. He desires your worship. The Bible tells us the Spirit lusted against the flesh in Galatians. Why? Because God wants all of you. God wants your strength. God wants your undivided attention. God wants your love. God wants all of you, not just a little bit, all of you, not just a little time that you can give Him, all of your time, all of your life. He wants all of it. He's a jealous God. And if anybody deserves all of me and all of you, it's God. And so think about it today. As you go on your life, what is it that you give attention to? What is it that you have between you and your God? What is it, the wedge that you might have wedging you between your relationship with God? It could be a simple thing. It could be something very wicked. Whatever it may be, take the wedge out. Because God is a jealous God. As to his holiness, he is a consuming fire. Deuteronomy 4:24. And you know what? Let him consume you. Let him just, you get so close to him that all the imperfections will fall away. Just like as gold tried in the fire, you can come out as gold. Get so close to God that your imperfection just melts away, just burns up. He's a consuming fire as to his holiness. As to his pity, he's a merciful God. Deuteronomy 4:31. He's a merciful God. His mercy endureth forever. And I praise the Lord for that. Because I need his mercy. And his mercy is renewed for me today. And by the way, if I don't use all of it, I probably will today. But if I don't use all of it, it'll be renewed for me in the morning. As to his fidelity, he is a faithful God. Oh my, he's faithful. When's the last time you called him and he didn't answer you? As to his vitality, he is the living God. He's overcome sin and death. Grave has not a power over him. He resurrected. He's the resurrection and the life. As to his greatness, he is the terrible God. Nehemiah 1:5. As to his compassion, he is a gracious God. And we can go to God in the throne of grace and find help in time of need. So that's just a little bit. I mean, this is not all exhausted list of how God is so awesome. How God is so powerful as Elohim, his name Elohim. Just a little bit, maybe to remind you that you serve an all-powerful God, a God that created the entire universe into existence, a God that keeps it from falling apart until the time that he allows the world to be destroyed and he takes his church home to be raptured up. And then the tribulation comes and then the end of the world. But then he promises in Revelation he'll make a new heaven and a new earth. And by the way, he says this, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. So he's preparing. Man, he's a great example to us about all aspects of relationship. He's just awesome. He's God Almighty. He can fit a lot of shoes, and he can fulfill it, and he can do a very good job at it. He's a good father. He's a good friend. He's my lawyer. He's my advocate. He's an awesome lawyer. And he is a great author. Man, if you want to learn how to write love letters, he can do it for you. And God is awesome. My God is Almighty. He's so good, and he's so powerful. In a sense, he can relate to me. That's what really throws me off. An almighty God, without limit in time or knowledge or anything, can relate to me, a finite being, has enough patience to deal with me every day of my life. When I make a mistake, when I do something that was not necessarily good, sin, when I do the wrong thing, he still has patience with me. He can understand those times, and he can come in those times and gives me courage, and I can encourage myself in the Lord. He's, if anybody can understand me totally, he understands me, and I know that. And I can come to him. That's our almighty God we serve. An almighty God. Not just in the physical aspects of life, but in the spiritual realm, and even in our emotional state. He can understand us. He knows how to be a single person. He knows how to live in a broken home. He knows how to deal with step-parents. He knows how to see, and he's just awesome. And he can relate those things through his word. And you can find fulfillment in God today. He's great. He's almighty. Anything that you'll ever need, he can fulfill it. He's all that I need. All that I need is a friend in Jesus. Let's go ahead and pray. Whoa, my goodness. Let's go ahead and